if you listen to 2SER on a Sunday, you know that there are three incredibly great shows all inviting you to think. One of them is Think Health. The presenter, Ellen Liebetter, joins me on the phone. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, you've got a trio of rather intriguing pregnancy stories for us.
Yes, a trio of pregnancy stories, and funnily enough, also a trio of stories where the person I interviewed is called Amy.
Okay. That is definitely an interesting one. All right.
Yes. So the first story that I've got to share with you today, it's about the perinatal and neonatal mortality report that was released last month. Didn't get a lot of coverage, mainly because it was a lot of good news. And, you know, good news doesn't work with our news cycle.
Doesn't sell newspapers, doesn't create clicks.
No, so basically Australia is still one of the safest places to give birth, which is awesome. The neonatal mortality, so that's babies born in the first 12 months of life, that is down over the last 20 years. But one thing is on the increase, and that's stillbirth.
Ooh.
So I've got a clip to share with you from the researcher Amy Monk talking about the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare and the report and why stillbirth is on the increase.
Here it is.
So it's an interesting one, and AIHW reported that overall, over that 20-year period from 93 to 2012, there was a 13% increase in stillbirths. It's really unclear why there is that 13% increase in stillbirths. The report that AIHW did, it's only descriptive, so they don't look at causation at all, and there wasn't enough data to look at the causes of death over that 20-year period, because that came from a slightly different collection.
13% is a lot.
Yeah. And earlier this year on Think Health, we did do an entire episode looking into stillbirth. And one of the reasons that it could be and that came up in this episode was the fact that parents aren't doing autopsies on their stillborn babies. So we kind of don't, we're not getting the answers we need in a, you know, significant number in order to see what's going on here.
That is heartbreaking, but also sort of quite emotionally understandable, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And when a baby is stillborn, it looks like a normal baby. It looks like it should be healthy. So for a lot of parents, it is quite confronting to send that perfect little baby off to get an autopsy. But I did speak to someone who does do the autopsy, one of the doctors, and she said that they treat the babies as if they're their own children, and they try and make the cuts that they have to do as inconspicuous as possible, just so a baby does come back and it looks as if nothing has changed.
Oh, gosh.
But we do have answers. So, yeah.
Look, moving on from that, and that is quite wow. Look, you've also got something interesting on getting women healthy before they get pregnant.
Yeah, so 50% of all pregnancies in Australia are unplanned. So that's a bit of a problem health-wise because, I don't know, you know, it takes a few weeks sometimes to work out you're pregnant, and if you've been drinking or taking drugs in that time, it's a problem. You haven't been eating your leafy greens, it's a problem. And as well as that, weight is kind of the big thing at the moment for a lot of researchers, because if you start pregnancy overweight or obese, then that has a lot of negative impacts on you as the woman and your baby as well.
Mm.
So it's about starting these conversations before women get pregnant about being healthy while pregnant, but it's kind of a funny area because healthy women aren't necessarily going to see their doctors and they're not necessarily thinking about getting pregnant. So where do you have this conversation?
Now, we've got a clip?
We've got a clip from Amy Steele. So she's from UTS talking about whose responsibility is this.
All right, Amy number two.
A lot of GP consultations are patient-driven. So you sit down in front of the GP and the GP says, what can I help you with today? The GP's not thinking, and while you're here, you're a healthy young woman, you might be thinking about getting pregnant in the next 2 years. Let me talk to you about preconception care. It just doesn't happen.
So who's left apart from the internet?
That's pretty much it. And I think that the problem is women don't know that this can even happen. We're not even educating women that preconception care has value.
Look, I've got to say, I've never heard of it. Not that I'm a woman, obviously, but I've never heard of the idea of preconception care.
And I'm exactly the same. I'm a young woman. I could get pregnant in the next 5 years. But I said to Amy at the time, I would probably hate it if my doctor started saying to me, you're of a fertile age, maybe we should talk about pregnancy, because I'd say, you know, no way, it's not in my horizon at the moment.
It does sound a little sexist, doesn't it?
Yeah, but then, I don't know, it's a bit weird. I think the message that we did try and get out there in the story is that if you are a woman and if you are planning to get pregnant, go and see your GP. Like, just before you lose the contraception, go and see your GP, have a chat.
Talk to your doctor.
Yes.
Now, this one is a big one, social media and pregnancy.
Yeah. So, I don't know about you, but if I spend a bit too much time on Facebook, you do kind of feel like your life sucks. Because everyone is putting the best of themselves up on Facebook, right?
They certainly do.
This is even more prevalent among pregnant women. So I didn't realise this, never having been a pregnant woman myself, but I can definitely empathise with it, that when your friends and when celebrities are putting up pictures of their perfect baby bump and their perfect pregnancy, it kind of makes you feel a bit shit, I guess is the best way to say it. Because, you know, you're putting on a lot of weight, and if that weight is going in places that you're not meant to have weight, quote unquote, which you are, it can make you feel upset about yourself. So this is Amy Brown. She's a researcher from the UK. They did a survey of a couple of hundred women asking about how they felt about their pregnant bodies and how much social media they used.
All right, Amy, number three.
There are all these stories about pregnant celebrities, and it's never, oh, look, she's put on a healthy amount of weight. Doesn't she look lovely? Or she doesn't look pregnant from behind, because that matters. It seems like we very much don't want our bodies to change anymore when they're pregnant, even though we're growing an entire new person in there and there are going to be changes.
And of course that's difficult to see if you're in a social media bubble, and you're more likely when pregnant surely to be spending more time on social media because it's harder to get out.
Yeah, and you've got all these questions about, like, is what's happening to me okay? So there's a lot of social media groups for expecting mothers as well. So the study found that the more you use social media, the more likely you are to have body image issues.
Which can't be a pleasant aspect to a pregnancy that might already be quite difficult to deal with anyway.
Yeah, that's right. And so they only looked at Facebook. I'm quite interested to know what would happen if you looked at Instagram.
Oh, gosh.
Because that's a whole other kettle of fish, Instagram.
That is absolutely another kettle of fish. Now, thank you very much. Three amazing stories. Where can people hear all of these stories?
So you can hear these stories on your favourite podcast app. Just search for Think Health. They've been spread out over the past couple of weeks. So you may need to listen to a few episodes, but of course there's other nuggets of gold in those episodes.
Many, many. They're solid gold. They're not even nuggets. Every single episode, solid gold.
Everything is solid gold. Yeah, I won't undersell that. It's all solid gold.
It is all solid gold. Ellen, thank you very much. You actually sound worse than I do, so thank you for doing this morning. Get back to bed and rest up.